The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. This is Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say, because we're an open line today till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. And yes, the storm has hit us. I just wonder whether when they're going to start having Manx names for the storms. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? A number of roads are closed due to fallen trees. The Mountain Road slows Ramsey to the Craig. Switchback Road, St John's, Mona Drive in Douglas and Kentraw Road in Port St Mary. Trees fallen onto cars at Mona Drive. Which prompts me, because I think we've got a picture of that on our Facebook of that. Mona Drive has got some very tall trees. I'm just wondering who owns that land? Because Mona Drive never gets a spot of sunshine, does it? Because they've got very high trees, both sides of Mona Drive. And one's come down today. And they are extremely tall. So if anybody knows who they are, and lots of ivy on them, apparently, as well. And ivy can create risk, obviously increase weight and wind resistance, especially when they're wet, which, of course, it will be. Dense ivy increases a tree's wind resistance. Basically, it acts like a sail. And in storms, it raises the risk of the branch or the whole tree failure, particularly in exposed locations. And Mona Drive is... I'm not sure where Mona Drive is, by the Welbeck Hotel. It's the bit that connects Victoria Road through to just by the Ascot Hotel and the Welbeck Hotel, the block behind the Castle Mona Hotel. So, messages now. Not surprised at the news today about the meat plant. Government fat stock, MNFU and the farmers had an advocate in the late David Moore. He fought to keep the agriculture viable on the Isle of Man, fought against government, the takeover of the meat plant for the benefit of the farmers in the Isle of Man. Sadly, to no avail, all those mentioned above and the media apparently dismissed his fears. Now we pay the price. A lesson for us all. Don't follow like sheep, says Karen. Sometimes it just takes one person that does the homework to be correct. Well, we've talked about the amount of money that's been flashed out in the meat plant, the body which handed over control of the meat plant at Tramode 8 years ago, says it's dismayed and shocked by the amount of money that's been splashed out in non-exec payments. In a written response from DEFA, Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, last week revealed a sharp increase in payments to the board of Isle of Man Meats, with total compensation more than tripling over the last three fiscal years. Well, it prompted a statement from the Isle of Man Fat Stock Marketing Association, which says that although they'd nominated a non-exec director to the board, they were kept in the dark about all the rises. This is the story.
In 2018, there was a significant change in the running of the plant. Operation was taken from the Manx Fat Stock Marketing Association and given to the Isle of Man Meat Company Limited, a so-called arm's-length operation. A new era. Was profitability on its way? Seemingly not. Not the bold new future hoped for, indeed promised. While farmers' despondency increased, seemingly side issues appeared, like the row over the appointment of a former MHK Bill Shimmins to the board, DEFA Minister Claire Barber.
In considering the appointment, Mr. Shimmins' experience in finance and his working knowledge of government process and the expectations relating to governance of government-owned arm's-length bodies made him a suitable short-term appointment to support the plant. Mr. Shimmins' appointment is until April, when, as per my previous answer, a full review of the board will take place and an open recruitment process will be utilised.
Now, the handsome rewards for serving on this board have been spelt out in a written response to a question from MHK Julie Edge. The details show that total payments to non-executive directors rose from over £70,000 in 2023 to over £250,000 last year, threefold in the last 3 years. The FMA directors have been asked by farmers how they allowed the payments to directors and the chairman to escalate. The simple answer is we did not know because the information was not shared. We understand that the additional payments were stopped as soon as the minister and the new chief officer became aware. The statement goes on, if improvements were far above the costs incurred by these professional directors, then they could perhaps be condoned. But unfortunately, this does not seem to be the case. In fact, the business seems to be reliant on ongoing subvention, usage of which has escalated annually. The Manx farmer has many things to contend with. The weather, of course, the price of supplies and fuel, the cost of transport, as their margins are squeezed and squeezed. They are hoping desperately for a meat plant they can put their faith in. So their dismay at information such as this is entirely understandable.
What do you think about this? Arm's length company. From the fat stock to an arm's length company. And, well, you heard the story. It would seem logical, wouldn't it? We produce meat, we grow meat on the Isle of Man, it goes through our facility, and then it's sold, it's retailed. So, I don't know. I mean, as a lay person, why is it difficult? And particularly, if you're in the agricultural world, and again, you can say this anonymously if you don't want to be associated with it, but it would be nice if the rest of the lay population on the Isle of Man knew why. Why has this happened? We know what's happened, but why has it happened? And whose big idea was this? And more importantly, let's not look at the rocks. Let's look out to sea. Let's look where we can go with the meat plant and how it can have a profitable and very useful future for the Isle of Man. Otherwise, what do? Manx Electric Railway, says Pammy. I just drove past the billboard a bit further up from the railway on Summerland, and the advert billboard has decapitated to such a point I felt duty-bound to text in. Who's responsible for this? And if they don't want to update it, at least take down the old broken plywood sheets. It looks like the Isle of Man is closed for business. A perfect symbol for our government attitudes towards public spaces. Is this true? And a message in just to say, no boats, but I got three letters in the post, says M. How has that happened? Don't ask me, but if somebody knows. And everything the government gets involved in seems to spend taxpayers' money very easily, says Andrea. And why would you employ an ex-MHK at the meat plant, Francois? This is Mr. Shimmins you're talking about. Well, Mr. Shimmins is a very experienced and was in Treasury. So he knows how. And knowing Mr. Shimmins' reputation, he is not one to be profligate with money. Terribly circumspect. He's the guy who used to run RBSI on the Isle of Man. So I wouldn't imagine Mr. Shimmins would take very kindly to losses and profligacy. But anyway, we should ask Mr. Shimmins. Just to see what. Also, if the minister and the chief officer didn't approve the non-exec director of payments to the meat plant, who did? And have they got the authority to actually do this? Says Susan's with us now. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
What's on your
How
mind?
How are you today, Andy?
Well, I love this weather. I'm just now going to be sunbathing this afternoon.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. I've got three blooming wet dogs at the moment. Anyway, what I'd like to talk about is the fares on the steam packet fares.
Yeah.
Basically, yesterday I had to book a fare over to the mainland, and unfortunately for me, it is practice week, and I paid nearly £500 for the car and me. And but that's a return ticket. Then I had to book another one today for earlier in the year, in a couple of weeks' time. And that was £270. Now, I just feel that we as residents are getting ripped off by the steam packet. We want to leave the island No thing to the TT. I mean, I love the TT. It's just I've got to go away this time. And I just feel there's nothing to help the residents leave the island. It's so expensive at this time of year. And I just, you know, and if you want to, you've got all the extras, if you want a seat and everything on the boat.
And which boat are you going on? Is it Manxman you're going on?
I think it's the Manxman. I'm not really, I didn't even look. I just had to book it.
Which route were you going to? Heysham or Liverpool?
I'm going to Heysham.
Okay, well, that'll be Manxman then. But there are hundreds of seats on there. And if you're going that way, and...
Yes, but this is in TT week.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, I tried to book everywhere was booked.
Yeah. It's just that you're going from the Isle of Man to Heysham, which means in TT, most people are coming the other way to the Isle of Man. So surely you would have thought that, obviously the prices are adjusted, shall we say, during the TT period. What do you think about that, particularly as a resident of the island?
Wrong. Totally unfair to the residents. And also, I'm a senior citizen and... You know, any time of the year, you don't get any concessions for senior citizens now. Just the whole thing, just to get off the island, it's just so difficult.
Do you think, bearing in mind the steam packet is owned by the government, we own it, it's an arm's length company, and the treasurer is a shareholder. Do you think they should be cutting residents a bit of slack or giving us a bit of a break every now and again?
I do. I think they should. And also, I think because, you know, they say, oh, we haven't got as many tourists and things coming now. I think my view is lower the prices, more people will come, more tourists will come, especially in the summertime, more tourists will come. Like, you know, I know things aren't going to change from years and, you know, the 80s and 70s and onwards. But friends of mine... in England, they want to come over and visit me. When they see the prices, they say, well, we're not paying that. Yeah. We can't afford that. And I think lower prices, more visitors, better for the economy because people are bringing in, they spend, they go around the island and everything. And we just don't seem to get that. It seems to go up, 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 and nothing ever comes down, down, down. Yeah. I mean, even yesterday, wow, I got I think it was £6.70 discount for booking online. And that's because I had to pay full fare as well. And today, there was no discount for booking online. I did phone them up and ask them why. She said, it's all combined into the price, which seems a bit odd to me. Mm. You know, so... You know, I just thought I was getting so fed up with it.
You got to tell somebody. That's it. What are your dog's names, Sue?
My dog's names?
Yeah.
I've got Purdy. I've got Chase. Chase by name. Chase by nature. And Izzy.
Purdy, Chase, and Izzy.
Yes.
Jolly good. Okay. All right. Well, don't get blown away in the weather today, Sue. Okay.
Oh, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt.
Thanks for calling today. Bye.
All right then, Andy. Bye.
Cheers then. 19 minutes past 12. Here's David with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I listened to the lady this morning about trying to get a park down where she was living in the main road, that particular area down in Douglas there. And it brought me to mind, and we still have the problem. Do you remember those people who were in the department, Jeff Robinson?
Oh, he's director of highways, I think, in DOI.
But do you remember the issue that came out, the consultation about...
Oh, crikey, the vans.
Commercial vehicles, and that also included camper vans in different places. And it just reminds me, on the way up from the Keys today... After having my boring session this morning about Keys Question Time, anyway, I'll talk to you another day, is that Lancaster Road in Douglas there is full of old vehicles. And if anybody wants to skeeter different things, we've got the same issue too at Belgravia Road, where people are just putting older vehicles there now, rusty vehicles there. I don't know, I'm sure if Bruce Haney was... still in the DOI, you'd have the vehicle inspector up and some of them checked out.
Yeah.
As we're coming to the summer months, we're coming into spring and summer. We need to encourage people to come to, as far as I'm concerned anyway, Onken Park and everywhere else on the island that there has spaces where people can park their vehicles and get into their parks. Nobles Park will probably be the same. And I just wondered, is there any movement yet from Tim? I listened to him this morning, he was fine. He responded to some of the members saying, well, listen, if you're asking all these questions, why don't you come into the department and talk to the officers? What a great statement to make, Andy. Do you know what I mean? Let's talk about it instead of belly aching on the radio and just for election purposes.
So the story about the abandoned vehicles, is it true that if they're taxed, it doesn't matter what condition they're in? As long as they're taxed, they can be left there. Is that right?
I think that's the issue. But to me, there's other issues to do with the vehicle test and say that they can look at a vehicle to say, does it look roadworthy? Yeah. Has it got flat tyres on it? Is it like one of them, the campervan in Belgravia Road, and I hope the person is listening, it's an old one, and he's got the back stabilisers have come down. You know, the things that stop them rocking about when it's stationary, they're down. So if he comes to move it, if it ever gets moved, I mean, some of the camper vans in Onken, there's one by Onken School as well, they've been there 6 months. Do you remember last year when I had you up all the time and looked at it, and there was a concern about a horse box where they had a horse in and people were sleeping in it? We haven't seen him for a while. But I bet he'll be back for the summer.
Well, the thing is that there's an issue with this is that for people who live around there, if they're not their vehicles, it's dispiriting. It's a bit depressing to see a heap of rust, even if it's got a tax disc on it, something that's been there forever. And we hear of people using them as tool sheds and tool stores and this, that and the other. And surely it's somebody's responsibility to say, look, it's obvious this thing has been parked there for 6, 9 months or what have you. It's got to be moved. Either, you know, get it up to snuff, put some tyres on it, get it moving, or get rid of it. But you know, if the rule is, as long as it's taxed, they can't do anything, there's a bit of a logjam.
It is. But there's hope, because we've got a new minister now in the DOI, and I know the commissioners, because I was part of the issue there, we wanted what we call a 1624 zone in Belgravia Road, where it means if the vehicle stands there for over 16 hours out of 24, it becomes a clear offence. And then you can either have a traffic warden do it, or a police officer, or even the commissioners can employ somebody to go around. I just feel that we're doing a disservice to the people of the Isle of Man not bringing these regulations in. And maybe sometime in the future, if you have Tim on, or maybe Jeff Robinson or Emily. Somebody was talking the other day about Emily Curfley. I forgot about her. She's the chief executive there.
Oh, she's the boss,
Yeah, well, Tim's the boss, because he often says no, and that's fine as far as I'm concerned, as long as they can justify it. But who are the members in that department? We know we've lost Hooper, and the other ones are, there's somebody else who's an MLC, I've forgotten their name at the minute. Are they still there? Yeah. And does he have a team?
You can tell me as well, and this is as an Onken commissioner, you can tell me this. Does the Isle of Man Model Club still sail boats on the boating lake occasionally?
Yes.
They do, right, okay. Sorry, somebody asked me the other day.
It's a great thing, and I sold all my model boats about 6, 7 months ago to all sorts of different people. I was a massive collector of warships. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. All sorts of things. And I had a motor torpedo boat that had 3 engines in it and were water-cooled. And by gosh, you could go, never mind a 20 mile an hour, I bet I could beat that.
So it's an evening at the Onken Boating Lake in the park, yeah?
Yeah, they have if people go on to they've got a website there or an email address. There's a website there, which there's a lot of people that's in the Model Boat Club. And what a wonderful evening. You're sitting in the park, a nice summer's evening, as long as you can get there without any camper vans parked in the way, and just experience the tranquility. That's good. The best way.
All right. Tranquility. Good to hear from
you. See
you,
boy.
Take care now. Let's bring on Julian with us. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy.
Yeah, the non-executive directors of the meat plant. That's some raise, isn't it?
Well, nice work if you can get it.
That's between 23 and 25. That's a 257% increase. Is anyone else getting anything like that?
Well, don't look at me.
Well, you know, the lady that was on first, quite agree with her, and not just about tourism, but considering Chris Thomas is now the Treasury Minister, he'll also be the shareholder for the steam packet, won't he? So I would imagine he will have some influence on what happens with things, because things like the carriage charges must be crippling as well.
Well, I know the commercial charges, as you say, and the amount of money that the hauliers have to pay for a shipping container, and obviously an articulated truck, a trailer, it's an awful lot. That gets passed on to us. That's why they reckon stuff is 15-17% more expensive on the Isle of Man than elsewhere. While you're there, a guy called Brian texted in to say, the technology is there. Why doesn't the steam packet get some good PR and just issue things like the old Clubman ticket, where people get 10 codes per year to get 10% off? So the more you use, the more you save. We used to have a thing called Sail and Save. But they could use the technology that usable online to actually incentivize people to use it, because they're going to get a discount. So the technology could be there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like the Faircracker used to be with Manx Airlines.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you're going to need more than just a little discount on this. I mean, you know, 500 quid to get on the boat, it seems. And then you think of how the thousands of pounds per container that, yeah, say, the agricultural sector have to do. Also, I was just listening before on the Timwell website to the sitting there. And they were talking about the removing of the bishops of vote, which I presumably assume is to do with removing religion from government. And considering the mover of the bill, Laurie Hooper, was also in DEFA, why didn't he say anything about the government-controlled meat plant having Islamic prayers or the Bismillah performed over the meat?
Does that happen?
If you want religion out... Well, if it's going to be halal, I mean, that's the meaning of halal. Whether or not they're doing anything we don't like, I mean, you know, it has to be performed if you're going to call it halal. So there's no way out of that one. But if you've got a government-controlled meat plant, then why are you doing prayers over it at the same time as trying to get rid of the bishop's vote, because you don't want religion in government? So I don't know. That seems a bit of a conundrum to me. Yesterday's show, you had a texter on your show that said that... questioning the assisted dying, especially in Canada, is a complete exaggeration of truth and designed to scare people, not relevant to us. But as you pointed out yesterday, Andy, Manx Care have declined to carry out assisted dying. So is someone else going to be brought over to do this?
The thing is, Julian, it's the lack of transparency, and the kind of detail. If you give people granular detail and say, this is what we're going to do, this is who's going to do it, then you can see. I mean, if this happens, if it goes ahead, there will be very few people who take advantage of it, if pardon the expression. It will be a very small number of people. So who's going to do this? Now, I know, because I've done some research into this, to avail yourself of the service at Dignitas in Basel in Switzerland, it's about 15,000 euros. Now, much of that, the vast majority of that, apparently the drugs to do it cost about 200 euros, possibly less. Everything else is form filling and insurance and licenses, and the Swiss love to fill a form out. So while we're doing this, and, you know, I mean, Dr. Allison brought this this private members bill, but at the moment it's a theory. It's a hypothetical. We don't know. It would be nice to know what the practicalities of it are. And if when we know what the practicalities of it are, we can all make a judgment, Julian.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, because you remember some time ago I spoke to David Ashford on the Man in Line, and he said that there hadn't been any costing done for assisted dying, considering that we're the ones that are going to be paying for it through taxes, ostensibly. And it's interesting because I had a look at the 2025 latest British Columbia Ministry of Health Medical Services payment schedule, which lists all the remuneration prices paid to assisted dying participating doctors and nurses. So the average remuneration per person euthanized
is an average of $1,400. And then, according to this thing, it's another $1,300 for the drugs, ostensibly $662 plus a backup one, but of course they have a sell-by date on them, so whether or not they can be resurrected afterwards. The three drugs they're using are midazolam, ricuronium bromide, and propofol. So if you add up the cost of the drugs used in British Columbia plus the average cost of all the paperwork, you're looking at about $2,700 per person. And then you've got other costs which are separate from assisted dying, which seems to be getting used here. Funeral homes are offering a sort of a hosting thing for the process. It's sort of like a gathering around as it's going on. And that's averaging around $700, which are billed directly to the family if you want to sort of include it all in the same thing.
Yeah.
But the person who texted in was saying about exaggeration. A very, very recent, actually January this month, a recent news article in the Toronto Sun about a 45-year-old woman called Jolene Van Alstine from Saskatchewan. She suffers from a rare parathyroid condition, and she was told she needs surgery, but unfortunately there are no surgeons that have the capability of doing that specialist surgery in Saskatchewan. So she needed a referral from an endocrinologist to get treatment in another province, but there were no endocrinologists accepting new patients. So Jolene was recommended for assisted dying to be performed on January the 7th.
When you say weeks ago. Recommended, what do you mean?
Well, they said you can have this because she can't get any joy through the medical fraternity because of the services have right. become unavailable.
Who said that?
So,
who said that, Julian?
That this is the British Columbia Ministry of Health.
Right, okay.
So luckily, American radio host Glenn Beck had heard about a story and offered to pay for her to come to America for treatment. So this is very recent. So Jolene has changed her mind about assisted dying. And interestingly, the top specialist in her condition in Toronto has intervened temporarily whilst all this is going through because Glenn Beck has offered to get her sent over to America for treatment. And has sent her mega doses of vitamin D with calcium in the interim period. And the top surgeon in the condition in Tampa, Florida, agrees with this initial course of action. So they've looked at her bloods and realized that her vitamin D is in the floor, and they know that parathyroidism is implicated with low vitamin D levels, which kind of ties in with what I said yesterday. So this is the top specialist in Toronto sending her massive amounts of vitamin D with calcium to get her improved. And he's saying she may not need the surgery as a result of this, which I find interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a long way from the Isle of Man, but is there an Isle of Man relevance
yeah.
to this?
Prevention's better than cure. I mean, you know, as I've said many times, there is no standard vitamin D surveillance on the island when you go for a blood test. So
Right. Everyone's
walking around, except for DEXA scans, where they do say that. And everyone who goes for a DEXA scan, more or less, will find out that they've got D levels in the floor.
Well, the UK NHS, I think, recommends, is it 400 units a day, 400 IU a day?
That's right. However, if you talk to any endocrinologist, they'll tell you that the levels that you need to achieve are at least a 4,000 IU a day. And of course, if anyone says that's dangerous, you can just nip to the health store and they do 4,000s, 8,000s, 10,000s. So if it's so dangerous, why are they on the shelf?
Okay. All right, Julian, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
26 minutes before. By the way, that isn't medical advice, by the way. You can take or leave it, and if you want to look at your vitamin D levels or have recommendations, go and see your clinical specialist, see your GP. But the UK NHS does recommend 400 units a day in the winter, that is. Roger's with us now. Hi, Roger.
Hello, Andy. Good afternoon. Lauren, I'm a long-term listener, but first-time caller, so please bear with me.
Okay.
I would like to share my experience with the new email service, Janara.
Yeah.
I signed up on the 16th of this month, paid by £65, and hours, at least the same day afterwards, my account was hacked. 42 of my contacts received an email purporting to be me and asking for money, basically. On examination, the sentence structure, the syntax wasn't correct. It was obviously a non-English speaker, I would say.
Right.
Well, I mean, the state of play is now of telephone, which their call centre is in Manila, Philippines. I've been on the phone twice now, 40 minutes duration, mainly hanging on, and I still don't have my email reinstated. What else?
So, obviously, what's the telephone number for their helpline? Do you know, off the top of your head?
Oh, not offhand, no. I can certainly...
Yeah.
No, I don't have that.
And you know for a fact that the call centre's in Manila, do you?
Oh, definitely. I asked them twice, yeah. I mean, they're very courteous, very professional. But I'm still without an email service for, getting up to 12 days now.
Well, that's just not acceptable, is it?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. No, this is a long-term customer of Manx Telecom, and without any problem at all for, two decades now.
So everything was fine, but the moment you shelled out £65, it fell over.
Exactly. Rightly or wrongly, I made the choice. I thought, laziness, I suppose. £65, £1.25 a week. I thought I'll try. It was an easy option. Yeah. Put it that way.
But the fact is that if there were, you had no problems before, and then suddenly problems are coming through. You would have thought Janara would have understood that the Isle of Man has come to this service since the 21st of January, whenever it is.
Oh yes, they were well aware.
Right. Yeah. Well, please let us know how long it takes, because I think we should pass the message along.
I'm going to ring them very short. Obviously, there's a time difference of 8 hours, and heaven knows what the cost of the call would be for 2 times 8, 40 minutes. But two of my close friends were taken in by the ruse. But they've had their money restored.
Right.
They want to do. They opted for Tesco e-voucher, and Tesco were good enough to realise it was a hack.
Right.
And they refunded the money. So that's one piece of good news.
Well, that's. I mean, it is good news, but it was bad news before that. So I mean,
absolutely,
This is costing time and money as well. Anyway, let us know how you get on, Roger.
Of course, I'll be in touch with your producer with the direct line.
All right. Appreciate that, Roger. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. Thank you, Andy.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
22 minutes to one. If you've had an experience of this, by the way, of this Janaro thing, the oldmanx.net, and if you've been hacked, and if you know people have got messages purporting to be from you, then do let us know. Manila as a call centre.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
Hello 2026. Hello £200. When you upgrade to Manx Telecom's Go Roam Ultra with a handset over 36 months, you'll get £200 to spend on anything in store. Because joy scrolling shouldn't be seasonal. Enjoy unlimited local data and 40 gigabytes of roaming data in 37 countries. Offer ends the 31st of January. See mt.im/terms for terms and conditions.
The Morvanin offshore wind farm isn't just about secure, renewable energy, it's a catalyst for growth. From supply chains to skilled jobs, it will help grow the Isle of Man economy. Explore the opportunities at orsted.im.
Find a hidden gem in the Isle of Man, the Abbey Restaurant Balasala. This old country house offers a relaxed and sophisticated atmosphere where you can wind down with unique and interesting fresh food and drinks. From dinner with fine wines to tea and exquisite cakes. Enjoy our fantastic lunch menu with fresh specials, or join us for afternoon tea and dinner. To book, click the abbey.im Find the Abbey on Facebook or call 822-393.
Flu season is here. But never fear, so is the chance to protect yourself. Whether you qualify for a free NHS flu jab or would like a private vaccination for just £20, Kingsley Mooty has made it quick and easy to get protected. Visit Kingsley Mooty on Facebook or call 625-040. Get your flu jab today with Kingsley Mooty.
Next month, the newly appointed Treasury Minister Chris Thomas will present the final budget of this administration just weeks after taking on the role. And what's announced will affect every one of us. So that's why Manx Radio's giving you the opportunity to put your questions directly to him as part of our Budget 2026 coverage brought to you by Crowe Isle of Man. Join us live on Friday, the 20th of February from 5 p.m. at Lukey's at the Best Western Palace Hotel for an open audience discussion with the Minister, which will also be broadcast live on Manx Radio. Tickets are free but limited, so be sure to reserve your place now by visiting manxradio.com. Manx Radio's Budget 2026 coverage brought to you by Crowe Isle of Man.
19,
the man in line
you.
With Andy Wint.
Oh, but you, 19 minutes before one. Thanks to Mike at the Welbeck, who said it's called Ravenswood. Ravenswood, the area around Mona Drive, those really, really tall trees, one of which has lobbed over in the wind and the rain today. I was just wondering who owns all that, who's responsible for those trees. I thought Ravenswood was a hotel on Broadway. Well, it used to be. Here's Robert with us now. Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
Well, very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
You seem a bit in shock over the Chris Thomas thing. Are you doing okay with it?
I think
okay?
I'll live, I think, Robert, yeah.
Well, it's Taylor's of Harrogate Yorkshire Tea and Malty Biscuit Brew. They've got a specialist tea down at Tesco at the moment, so sorry for advertising it, but I've changed from my omelettes to Malty Biscuit Brew now.
Very good.
So anyway, the point I wanted to say was, do you think there'll be more allowances with the old Ardalen, where they had the it was mental health, but they moved away from that onto drug and alcohol. I was just wondering, under Chris Thomas, would there be more funding for the likes of that?
Well, we don't know, do we? It depends how much.
Well, it's something that could really, really, play for, don't you think?
It's up to the department to ask for funding for it. They ask for the funding, and then Treasury decides whether or not it happens.
I mean, it's not sexy, but I think it's much needed.
Well, that's the thing, that in terms of health and social care, health gets all the headlines, but social care is something, and particularly mental health and adult mental health, as you say, is something of a Cinderella service, because unless you know all about it, you don't know much about it.
Well, I think mental health is separate. We're not talking about that. I think what we're talking about is the likes of people who've been on... I'm just having one of my multi... tea bags here. The idea that someone's overdosed or they're on the wrong stuff in terms of like fads. Bad's the wrong expression, completely the wrong expression. But they've decided not to choose life, put it that way.
Yeah.
And they've gone down the drug route or whatever.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if there's more help there that
okay.
could be afforded.
Okay, well, we'll try and find out, Robert. As you say, it's something that is badly needed, and rehabilitation from drugs is needed for many people, and certainly it's something that benefits society as well as the people themselves. It's Michael with us now. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Andy.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to get something out, really. It's off my chest. I had a bit of a panic attack over my life circumstances last night and decided I'd try and get it out. So I've been trying to move house and it's been a nightmare. spoke to me conveyancer last week. I was told I'd be moving out of my house in a few weeks, but it's going to be 4 months before my flat's going to be ready. So during this call, I had a lot of information to process. And then the next comment I heard was, you could go and live on Castletown Beach. So I could go and what? this was my conveyancer that I signed a contract with over £3,000 with him. They're telling me I'm going to be homeless and that I can go and live on Castletown Beach, and I'm quite upset about it. So that's why I'm on today.
Well, that's very that's understandable. So your circumstances...
My question is why? Yeah. Why would a conveyancer say that to anyone ever? And I want to know if there's a reason behind why they said that to me last week, because like, I'm absolutely fuming here.
Well. No, you've taken me completely by surprise, and yourself as well, obviously.
It's been going on a while with Andy. I've written to my MHKs, and they know a lot more details than I could say on air.
Okay, all right. Well, Michael, what I'd like you to do is, we've got your telephone number. Let's get a few more details, and then it's something we can look at, if that's all right.
I was a bit worried about coming on there in case my filter came off.
No.
I wanted to say, I mean, I've been holding this in myself, and I need help now. And I don't know, is the social work team still self-referral? Because okay. I really need help.
Okay.
And can I just say that also I've been going to Ed's Man Club in Castletown, and they've been great this year for me.
Oh, it's every Thursday. It's on Thursdays, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, they do a great job.
They've really helped me this year already, thanks.
Good. All right. Well, Michael, listen.
Thanks for letting me vent anyway.
Not at all. We've heard your story and we've got your details. Thank you. And let's see what happens in the future.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Thank you for that. And by the way, Michael, who told us all about Ravenswood by the Welbeck Hotel, Michael actually sent some information about halal meat, because Michael is Michael George from the Welbeck Hotel. The George family have run it for many, many years. And he said, Michael wrote to the meat plant and said, we've had an inquiry about how our meat is slaughtered. Does it conform to a religious standard? Not sure whether the inquisitor is asking because he's on one side of the political fence, but I remember... basically Michael's asking the meat plant as to whether it's halal, and the meat plant wrote back and said, thanks for your email, we can confirm that our slaughter process is non-halal and is fully compliant with all animal welfare requirements. Well, that's the official word from the meat plant to the Welbeck Hotel. The meat plant slaughter process is non-halal and is fully compliant with all animal welfare requirements. Here's Julie with us now. Hello, Julie.
Hi.
What's happened, Julie?
I'm just ringing to give you a little bit of background on this Junara thing from my perspective.
Okay.
Before Christmas, I received one of these emails. I decided not to go with Junara, but an email came in from a friend who I'd actually been with the night before, saying that she was in hospital, she had no voice, therefore she couldn't speak, but she desperately needed to send a voucher to a friend for a birthday. I think it was a godchild or something.
Yeah.
So would I please buy the voucher and send it? Well, I'd only been with this friend the night before, so I replied to the email and said, heavens, you know, you were okay at 10 o'clock last night. The cheek of them, they messaged me back and said, yes, I was rushed in at midnight. Anyway, I knew this wasn't correct because of the friend it had come from.
Yeah.
Since then, unfortunately, a very good friend of mine, who was a wonderful woman in her 90s, always on email and so on, died 3 days before Christmas. And 3 days later, her contact list started getting emails with exactly the same thing, saying she was in hospital. Anyway, we got to the bottom of it because her family are in Ireland and her family were trying to sort out her emails and so on. What had happened is she had paid for Junara, because it seems to be happening to a lot of older people who were frightened of the change. And when her daughter had clicked onto Junara, instantly these emails were sent out.
Right.
So I contacted the police, the cybercrime people, who were extremely helpful, and they sent me a long email to explain that apparently ManxNet was very leaky, that was their term, and now that Junara's taken over, those leaks are being exploited, And this is happening daily to many, many, many people on the island. Now, since we had the very upsetting one of my friend who just died, I mean, imagine 3 days after she died and people thought they were getting emails from her, including people in Australia who hadn't seen her. And I was then getting messages saying, we thought Olive died. But since then, I've had another friend after Christmas who it's happened to. Not only did they send him that message, but then they tried to use his Amazon account. So this is something quite serious for people to take on board, really.
And they said it was leaky.
Yes. Yes, it was prone to leaking. In other words, I'm not very technical, but the firewalls or whatever they are allowed scams, basically.
Well, you would have thought that this... I mean, Gennaro is Australian, I believe. You would have thought that taking on all this money, and of course, taking £65 from many thousands of people, you would have thought they'd have thought this through.
Well, sorry, Andy, I don't mean this personally to you, but I think we're all being a little bit naive with this. Because we are trusting people by nature. But I don't think Gennaro's a good idea. Not from the evidence I've seen of these four friends. And I did get this from the police cyber people. So it's, you know, it's come from experts.
Well, we need to get to the bottom of this because this, yes, seemingly, from your experience, this can't go on.
It can't, no. Maybe you could contact the police cyber people and I'm sure they would advise you. They do know what we're talking about and I'm sure they would give you the background to it.
All right, we appreciate that. The news team have heard that. We'll get in touch with the cybercrime people and see what
they
have to say. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, bye.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Back pain, neck pain, scoliosis, headaches, joint pain. At Align for Life Spine and Posture Clinic, we've been helping Manx residents for 16 years with our holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Plus, we're open after work and Saturdays, making it even easier to see us. Visit alignforlife.com or find us on Facebook for more information. Align for Life, 16 years serving the community of the Isle of Man.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
Corkhill Storage, Corkhill Storage.
Call Corkhill Removals and Storage today. We'll store your goods day after day. Safe and secure around the clock. When it comes to storage, we do the lot. Click CorkhillRemovals.com.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just to back up the last couple of callers, especially about Gennaro, I've had more emails coming in, scam emails with the blue link, press this, since this Gennaro took over. Well, I just rang up Manx Telecom, but their voice on the telephone system does give out a telephone number, and it's an 021 number. I didn't take any notes of the rest. That's obviously a London number.
Right.
Or support@gennaro.com. That's the Manx Telecom word coming out. So anybody wants, if you can hound the Manx Telecom 624-624 before they take this down, and then leave you on your own. But they say it's all by Gennaro now and nothing to do with Manx Telecom.
Well, they said, I mean, when they handed it over, or they presumably sold it over, because we've all been sold as subscribers, they said that Gennaro have been handling the back end of Manx.net for years. They said these were the people who've been running it. So surely they must have known that this was going to happen.
Well, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, and you'll know what I mean by buffering. The emails coming through onto my phone and tablet now seems to be slower, and you get a little circle going round, buffering as they call it. And they used to just click straight through, but now they seem to take ages. Now, whether that's any sequence of going out to a foreign port and all the way back again, but the Junara system seems to be pretty grim. And I've just got an email this morning with them, press this button and the link. And even when they first came on and they said, do not, we will not, and they put it in writing, we will not put links in blue. You actually have to put Manx Telecom or whatever it was in onto anything you wanted to write to them.
Yeah.
In other words, don't press on any of the blue links, otherwise you'll automatically go to a scam. And if you're paying £65 a year, and that's only this year, that's a special price, Lord knows what it will be next year, you should have better service than that. And I've had my email for many, many years, and I'm really looking to get rid of it, but I am going to eventually. A lot more people. If, as I say, ring up Manx Telecom, 624-624, they'll probably take it down after now. But there are numbers there, a telephone number and a site,
yeah.
Internet site to go to. So, and that is supposedly linked directly to Junara. But I was reluctant to go to the 020 number just to find out this information, which you used to get firsthand from Manx Telecom. Mm. And they walked away from it completely. But they're in the process of selling Manx Telecom, so they're not interested.
Well, of course, yes, it was supposed to be being sold to Jersey Telecom, wasn't it? But
that's right.
We've not heard much lately.
Yeah, they're not interested. So as long as they get the money at the end of the day, they couldn't care less about the people on the island.
Okay.
And this is the unfortunate part about it.
All right, Howard, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us.
Take care. Bye now.
3 minutes before one. The meat plant could be as profitable as the Isle of Man Creamery if it were run properly, says Neil in Douglas. Well, as mentioned yesterday, Finlay MacLeod has been running the creamery like clockwork for, 20-odd years? Premium quality meat and cheese exports. Right, that's it. Tomorrow we're going to be live from Ballacameen High School, back on Thursday with another open line.
WINT.